Okay, so important material tonight, even though the text itself might seem a bit, even though the text itself is we're not to see the practical ramifications of it itself, but then we'll see where it goes soon after. So the tour tells us in Kuf Chaf Sif Chet. Kuf Chaf Chet, or really the base Yosef, we could do here. So it points out that the only time that the mitzvah of Tevilas Kelim, or the chiyuv of Tevilas Kelim, sets in is when you purchase from a non-Jew, right? You're reenacting what it was owned by a non-Jew, and now it's being owned by a Jew. So Beis Yosef writes in the Sof Maseches Avodah Zarah, Amar Rav Nachman, Lushanu Ella, B'Lekuchin, B'Chamaisa Shehaya. It's only when you purchase it like the way it was. Now, the Jews didn't really purchase it from the non-Jews. They took it from them, but it seems to work either way. Perish B'Kli Midyan, Aval Sholin, Aval She'ulin, Lo. But if you just borrow it from a non-Jew, so then it's still his Kli, and you're just using it, and you don't have to tobel it. Umash B'Dish, Dishchorim, Shavim, L'Sholim. And it sounds like also that renters are like borrowers. If you only rent the Kli from a non-Jew, so you don't have to tobel it. So already there you have a big cool. I mean, there are, all of a sudden you're in a situation where you don't have a way of tobeling the kelim and you need to use the kli, so you can go to an adju, kind of give it to them as a gift, and say, okay, I'm giving it to you as a gift on condition that you lend it to us for a while. And in theory, that solves this problem. I remember somebody telling me that they must have been one of Aaron Soloveitchik's grandsons, I think. He was in the someplace with him, and they wanted to buy something for Shabbos, and it was Erev Shabbos, and they were in the mountains someplace, they didn't have a mikvah, so he starts telling the clerk, I'm not actually buying this, I am giving you the money for it, and I'm buying it, but you're going to keep it, and you're going to lend it to me. And the clerk's like, okay. but that is one eitzah that you can use in situations where it's necessary. Okay, so next. Okay, so the Torah talks about that if a Jew purchases it from a non-Jew and then lends it to his friend, so the friend's not allowed to use it because it hasn't been toveled yet. Right? So even though, well, we'll see what the Beis Yosef says. Right? King Kasu Sham Betosvos Varash Bashim Rashman Bachin Kasav Smak Vachasu Bagos Ashiri Aval Im Lakhu Chavero Lakto Kalafim. But if the reason that you purchased it was in order to cut, he's talking about like peeling, cutting off barks or something like that, right? We had that last week. Right, but you're not peeling food. You're talking about peeling something else, right? Velo l'tzarchi su, not for the purpose of the food, of the meal. Ein tzarch la'bilo, you don't have to tovelish. Sharei shol hu biyado akosha. It's only borrowed in your hand. Right, it's like it was borrowed in your hand. I mean, you didn't actually purchase that kli suda, right? So therefore, since you're only purchasing it for right, look how very key.
But if it's not for food, why would you even think that you'd have to?
No. So you borrow it, something that he purchased. He purchased it not to tovel it. So the owner, the Jewish owner, now has it. He doesn't have a chiyuv tefila. Now you go ahead and borrow it, and you want to use it for food. That's what he's talking about. So you don't need to tovel it because the owner doesn't have it that way. But Hayanirali, now the Beis Yosef adds in a big chiddush, which would almost throw out the entire tefillah. Well, I shouldn't say that. It would throw out a lot of tefillah's kelim issues. The Yisrael shekana kli migoy l'schora. Let's say a Jew purchases a kli from a non-Jew to sell. So imachru li Yisrael out there, and then he sells to another Jew. In hakonet tzarech lahatbilo. Maybe the purchaser shouldn't have to tovel it. Why? Because the Jew, the owner, the Jewish store owner, he has no obligation to tovel it, right? He's a store owner. Why did he purchase? He didn't purchase it to eat from. He purchased it to sell, right? So now the Jew has it with no reason to, with no obligation of chiyuv, with no chiyuv to tovel. So now in comes purchaser, Jewish purchaser, Shlomi the purchaser, walks in, he wants to buy this kli. What's he doing? He's buying a kli from a Jew that had no chiyuv tvila. So it comes to Beis Yosef and says, I don't know, it seems to me that maybe he shouldn't need to tovel it. Right? Because he didn't purchase it from a non-Jew. He didn't get it directly from a non-Jew. What do you think of that?
It could refer to any Jew that owns a store that sells pots.
So any time a Jew would own a store, right?
Even though he got everything from a non-Jewish supply, supplier.
Right. So maybe that right away cuts off any Chiyuv Tevila.
Apparently we don't follow this, otherwise the stores in Lakewood wouldn't have a mikveh.
Right, so that's the debate. So the basis of Shemayin Lo Aya Omed El Lestor, but Dami Lahav Dagos Hashiri, but Lachol Lachov Alerts Rachisuda. It sounds like the guy's buying in order to cut things that aren't for the purposes of a suda. Aval Midasayim. However, at the conclusion of that Hagos Ishri, he writes V'Chasav Shari Shalhu Biyado. It's like it was borrowed in your hand. Mashishim Aya Lakuach Biyado. That if you would purchase it, Hayach Chayev Tevila. So then there would be a Chiyuv of Tevila on it, meaning he's quoted from the Hagos Hashir. I didn't really understand what this basis was talking about. But if you look back at that Hagos Hashiri, where he says that if your friend purchases it to cut klafim velo letzarchi suda ein tzarich lahakbilo shrei shol hu biyada, you won't have to you won't have to total it because it's as if it was borrowed in his hand. But once you own it for the purposes of a suda, so then you write im kain who adim lukeach meha omdim etzel Yisrael l'schor kivin shemigoy lacham v'chein hor mori harav gadol mori ben rav. Right, and so too. Same thing would be if you purchase it from a Jew who was owning it for the purposes of selling it, right? Because he bought from a guy, so now because you're owning it from the guy, you're going to require tevila. So that is the Beis Yosef's attempt at a chiddush that he himself seems to reject. And he doesn't even quote it in Shulchan Aruch. So the Gaza Shiri is a commentary on the Rush. If you open a Rush, there's these little, Hagos. These notes that exist within the Rush. So that's, he shows up there a few times. Yeah, so he would be from, the Beis Yosef's quoting him, so that puts him pretty early. Okay. So, let's go to the Shulchan Aruch. Now, Chas, I don't know if we'll get the test, we'll see. So, so we're pretty straightforward. Hashoel Kufchav Sivches. Hashoel Osocher Klima Ubi Kufchavim. Right? You borrow or you rent a kli from a non Jew, ain't a tone tevila. You don't require a tevila. Right? First, knock that out. Ava. In Yisrael, if a Jew bought it from a non Jew, and lends it to his friend, Tone Tevila. It would require Tevila. Why? Shekfar Nischayev Biyad Harishon. Because it was already Chayev by the first person. The first person bought it, even though he never used it, he still has a Chayev Tevila, and now he's going to have to Tovel it. V'yesh Misha Omer, there are those that say, however, She'im lo lakhu harishon letzorech su'uda, el lachtoch klafim. He didn't buy letzorech su'uda, but rather to cut. Maybe klafim is like a food, but it's not for a meal. It's an earlier stage or something. He bought it to cut things that are not food related, right? But now you borrow it for something food related. V'chiyotzei bo ain't tzarich lahatpilo. So then you would not require tevila, meaning the Jewish owner of it doesn't use it for food. You're borrowing it for the purposes of food, because you're only borrowing for the purposes of food. But the owner doesn't own it for the purposes of food. So then you would not require tevila on it. Okay? So that is that's the kula of the mechaber. So comes the Ramah, we'll do the Ramah and then figure out knock down that mechaber. Aval harishon asur lishtamish b'lotzarchei suda afilu derech harai. However, person A, the purchaser, right, if he wants to then turn around and use it for a meal, he's never allowed to use it for a meal. Even derech harai, even once in a while, even irregularly, he wouldn't be allowed to use it for a meal below tevila without tovling it first. Afal pi shalachu letzarech klafim, even though he bought it for the purposes of these other types of things. V'chein in kanu Yisrael hasheni min harishon letzarech suda. Similarly, if a second Jew bought it min harishon letzorach hasuuda for the purpose of the suda, so then certainly tzarach tevila gabi hashenis, then he would certainly require tevila. Okay. So that is the Shulchan Aruch, right? So the main case was he has this dispute about, or this ha'ara, that if the owner owns it in a way that is not chiyuv tevila, and then lends it out to a Jew who would require, who wants to use it for something that otherwise would require tevila, he might not have to total it. Right, that's a big chiddush here, which, okay, whether you accept it or not. However, the original owner isn't allowed to use it at all. Once he wants to use it as all, even derech arayis, then he would immediately have to tovel it. Okay, if we take a look in the Taz Yud, right, so this Taz is right in the middle of that ha'ara of Mechaber, right, that if the guy borrowing it from the person who's not chayiv and it wants to use it, right, so for instance, okay, so Roa, so take about halfway through, it says the word Rotze, right, Sheim haya ha'yisrael echad Rotze l'shamsho l'su'uda afilu arai. Oh, I'm sorry, go a little before there, it says aval be'alav vav hay, which is be'isr v'heter. Right, it's about a line in for this. Mm-hmm. We go back. Maybe we start from the beginning. Actually, Kasav Beis Yosef Huad didn't even cuddle the schor. If he buys it for the purposes of a business, right? Ain't sarach tevila. He wouldn't require tevila in that case. But goes Ashir Misayim Bezek Kimet Shu Shol Biyado Lamed Beis Yosef Im Kanu Tzarach Tevila. Right, because it's like as if it's. Plus he's borrowing it from him, Lamed Beis Yosef, Beis Yosef learned, in Kanu Tzarech Tevila. So then the person would require Tevila. I mean, the person who takes it from the first person would require Tevila. And that's what the Ramah sounds like. Aval! If Jew number one wants to use it for a suda even once in a while, he would need to tovel it. Meaning, if the owner of it, the original owner, either the store owner or the guy who used it for bought it not for food purposes. If he would want to use it ever for food, he would need to tovel it. Mela, therefore, nischai biyado, mischai biyabo. He's obligated on mikri. He's called nischai biyado. Val korchach yisrael hasheni, the ashoel, the second Jew, which is the borrower mimenu, he would also require to tovel it. Tzarech l'tovelo. V'tamili ma'od al ramah shelo yivio lo b'darkei moshav lo kani. I don't understand why the ramah didn't quote this iser v'heter. Okay, says this mechaber is wrong. He says he thinks the Yisr v'Heter is right. Right, that if you person B who would borrow it from person A who has no chiv tevila on it, person B would be chayiv to tovel it. But tzarech lomar, so we say the yish to tovlo below bracha. Then maybe you should tovel without a bracha. Plus, it's a machlokas about it. Then ashol kelim miyisrael achen b'ni. So if you borrow kelim from a Jewish store owner, l'tzorech seuda for the purposes of a seuda, right? It pelenu below bracha. You should tovel without a bracha. El diyish l'chen b'ni l'hodiyaze. You should tell the store owner when you return the kli, right? L'mishu yikno somi menu achra shalit pelenu shenis b'bracha kenir l'fiyanias dice. You should tell the store owner that you tovel it. That way, when he lends it out to somebody else, or he rents it out to somebody else, right, he's going to tell him, by the way, you know, that's already been toveled by somebody else, right? You don't have to go ahead and tovel it. Okay, so that's the Taz. The Shach in Yutes says the same thing. Not in Yutes. In Tazayin says the same thing. In Serklat Vilo, he says, right, the Mechaber doesn't need to tovel it. However, Uve Isser Behetter Sham Din Perak Vav Pevav Pasuk the Tzar of Tevila Venira Diyesh Lat Vilo Below Bracha Lo Yitpol Kliachar Imo. Right, that Yitpol Kliachar Imo. He says Isser Behetter is Machmor on it, and therefore you should either tovel it without a bracha or B tovel it with something that certainly would require Tevila. Okay.
The Mechaber is saying. You buy what you don't have to tovel it, only if you buy it, right?
No. If you're borrowing.
If you borrow it, you do not have to tovel it, according to the Chavim. But if you buy it, you would.
Right. If you buy it and you're going to own it, yes, you would. He says, and if you're.
What are these guys saying that they disagree with?
So they're disagreeing on the point that the Mechaber said if you borrow it from the Jew who owns it, you would not have, and the Jew owned it in a way that you weren't chayiv, that he wasn't chayiv tevila, and you only use it once, so you wouldn't have to tovel it. Right. He says, however, the Taz said, you don't think so. He said, once anybody, either the owner or the borrower, is using it for food, it would require tevila.
Shach agrees with him.
So Shach, right, quotes this Rebbe as well, which is his way of agreeing with him.
All right.
Okay, so that's enough for the Shach. Okay, so now the Chelkas Binyamin here picks up on the line in the Ramah, where the Ramah said aval harishon asur lishtanish v'letzarchei se'uda, right, that the first person wouldn't be allowed to use it at all, afilu derech harai, even derech harai, meaning even one time. So that right away gets rid of this, I think we gave a Mythbusters on this a few years ago, right, the one time use of the kli, right, so that doesn't work. That doesn't work, right? However, there is an issue. So there are kelim that we use one time that very often we don't tovel them, right? So a primary example of that, well, the easiest example of that we'll start with, is the aluminum foil pans.
Disposable
pans, right? So aluminum, the aluminum pans, so Rav Moshe has a tshuva on that. Right. Okay, he has a tshuva here in Yeridaya Chelek Gimel, Simen Chaf Gimel, where he discusses the aluminum pans, and he says the aluminum pans are, his heter is based on the idea that it's not even Mekabel Tuma, that's not even considered a kli. That if you're only using it once, that if it's only a temporary kli, so it's not mekabel tuma, and therefore it's not even considered a kli. It doesn't, right? So the rules are tevilas kalim, the laws of being tovelin kalim, but if it's not a kli, so then it's not going to be subject to the rules of tevila. Now people quote this as saying, so therefore you could use the aluminum pans once. Right, and if you use it more than once, then you demonstrate that you want to use it purposely. So Rav Moshe in his tshuva explicitly says, "Mishtamsh behem gimel bezu gimel pamin."
Yeah, we heard twice, I think.
But he says two or three. So, and I would be comfortable going three or four or five. Meaning the kelim that you have in your house that you use permanently, you use hundreds of times, right? And this is a temporary kli. I mean, it doesn't last. I mean, you can't decide, oh, I'm going to use the tin foil pen.
They're very hard to clean.
You can't clean them. So
the public times of the steel wool is a whole of them usually.
Right. So they don't last very long, and therefore I two or three, four. As long as it's clear that it is temporary. Further, there's a further cooler when it comes to the aluminum cans, and that is aluminum.
Pans.
Aluminum pans. Is that aluminum is not one of the six metals that are quoted in the pasuk. Right? Pasuk itself quotes the metal.
It's not an alloy, though.
What?
Aluminum must be... No, it's an element, but I guess the... But it's probably combined with something.
Right, no, so they didn't have aluminum back then. Yeah. So I think we raised this in the first year we gave on Tevilas Kain, whether that is an acceptable distinction or not. So that's a machlokas. But I think one has the right to be one has the right to lean makil because of that.
If you buy a permanent aluminum pan.
Yes, then you would total it. We would be mad. We would total it. I forget. Yeah, so that's the first year. What?
I never thought of
that. What are you talking about?
So you buy an aluminum pan. It's a regular.
They make permanent aluminum pans. Okay.
At the dollar store, maybe. Something aluminum. High quality pans are usually not.
Yeah, I think they're over the aluminum pans. The question is, would you have to make a rough exit?
Okay, so that is not right. So I don't remember that. I don't remember that. So we got to go back and check the notes on that.
So I was one time, I can't even remember, many, many years ago, I was at the mikveh. Toivling Kalim, and there was a guy, he must have been a caterer, must have had 50 of these things. This is a metal aluminum, and he was toivling them.
Well, I did a little search today on so the next question. So this is the easiest part, right? When we go on to the more complicated thing about like Snapple bottles and cans of soda. Cans of soda are also aluminum. Those probably aren't really permanent, but the Snapple bottles and things like that. And then further kasha is like candy dishes. I mean, you buy candy dish platters, as they come on nice platters, and they sell them that way, so that's a further question. So I did a little search and came to some chat room on Yeshiva World News, where people were totaling everything. They were totaling plastic. There was a discussion about plastic. So I have heard that the Breuer's community, I'm afraid to say it on tape, but I've heard that they are that they total plastic there.
Saw this in Chicago. This guy with the aluminum pants.
So people are cameras. Okay, so that's issue A. So issue A is aluminum pants. I think Rav Moshe has a chew. I think that's pretty well accepted that is the psak when it comes to aluminum pants. Now, a further question are Snapple bottles. Right, but Snapple bottles are real bottles, right? And you can wash them out, and you could use them, and you can reuse them easily, right? So you go, so you're drinking, and you're drinking right out of them, right? So in kli su de gadol mizu, right?
When you buy them, you drink from them. That's not an issue.
So why not? I mean, so that first needs explanation, right? So when you buy it right away and you want to use it right away as it is, so is that it's drink from, right? To drink right out of them, right? Even with the straw, right? So is that okay? So the question about this was raised earlier, apparently, when it came to the discussion in the poskim about this, 50, 60 years ago, when it comes to like coffee cans. That's when that's the discussion. But truth is, that's a little further removed. So you don't drink out of a coffee can. But that's where all the hetero come from.
People put cookies in them. Used to store like cookies.
So that's after the fact. But first, you have to worry about the food itself, and then you have to worry about getting them out.
Coke came in glass bottles.
What?
Coke came in glass bottles back in the day.
Right. Okay. So those things led to the discussion. So the main kula, there are a few. The kulas are. There is a Rabbi Ari Leibowitz has a shiur online, three shiurim online, and then apparently he has an article as well in Torah Musing where he wrote it all up, is on the topics of, he calls it the candy dish problem, the candy dish dilemma. Alright, so he lists off seven kulas for the coffee cans, however he points out none of them apply to candy dishes. Right? So one is you're turning it into a kli, another one is that several of them go along the lines of that you as the customer is deciding to use it as a kli. I mean, one is by a can, so you're opening it up, it wasn't really a kli before in the same way, and you're opening it up, it's a different type of kli than it ever was, and therefore you're making it into a kli, but that's by a can. What about by, like, Snapple bottles? So that doesn't work for a Snapple, doesn't work for the Coke bottles, doesn't work for those kinds of things. Of course, it was a bottle, they put a cap on, I take the cap off, you have the same clay, right? So how does that work? So you go along the lines of, you didn't have das on the clay, you don't really want the clay, you're not really purchasing the clay, right? You're really just purchasing what's inside, and all that stuff is subservient to the liquid itself. They bring a proof from the idea that you can use Meiser Sheni money to purchase, right? Meiser Sheni money is the money you take to Yerushalayim, and it has to be used on food. Right? So now you show up in Yerushalayim and you know, you want to buy a sack of grain, right? So you have to pay $10 for the sack of grain plus another 25 cents for the sack it's coming in, right? So the answer is no. You can use your Meiser money on the food as well as the sack as well. The sack, you're not going to eat, right? Why does that qualify for the Meiser Sheni money? No, that's it's all subsumed, right? But the main thing is the food inside of it. That's what you're purchasing for, so then it's okay.
That relates back to the Snapple bottle, because the Snapple bottle is not relevant.
It's tuffle to it. So now then the further question is, okay, so now you drink your, we've allowed you to drink the Snapple out of the Snapple bottle. Right? So now you want to use the Snapple bottle for other things. So is that okay? So there Rav Moshe has a different tshuva, where he points out that, no, at that point, if the whole purpose of the maker was to use it as a one-time deal, and now you decide that you're going to extend its use to further usages, so that's okay. So it wouldn't require kli. Plus, in a way, you're making it a permanent kli. The Jew's making it a permanent kli. So that's the kula when it comes to the Snapple bottles. Now, the bigger shiloh, however, is, and this he, for I tell you, there aren't too many great solutions for it that would work the kol hadeos, and that is when you go to these candy stores and you purchase those candy platters that come on like the glass trays. right? So there it's hard to say that you're not purchasing the kli, because if you just wanted the candy, you would have spent a quarter of the price on the candy that's sitting on the shelf right next to it, right? The fact that you're paying four times the price demonstrates that you actually want the... Want to buy the tray. So this is a huge issue, right? Because if you deliver those trays, so right now it's Friday night, right? So they want to, yeah, right? If you want to eat off of that tray, that's called a kli suda. You bring it to the table, you put it out, and you're eating right off the tray. That's a kli suda. So is there any kula for these candy trays to be? It doesn't matter whether you're purchasing it from a Jew, from a non-Jew, either way, you're going to be stuck with this tray now that needs tevila. So there is a kula out there, and Rabbi Eisenman told me, and then Rabbi Leibowitz mentioned this also, that he heard this as well on this CD, on this recording I was listening to in high speed, what is the status? We're going to, next week's discussion is about things made in a factory. Is it a Jewish worker, a non-Jewish factory owner, or a Jewish factory owner, a Jewish worker? And nowadays, there's no Jewish owner anymore. What is generally the owner of these factories?
Corporation.
It's a corporation. So what is the status of a corporation? So Rav Moshe has a tshuva where he discusses, can a Jew own stock in non-kosher companies? He says, well, as long as you don't have a say, so you're not considered one of the owners. Even if you have your mutual fund happens to own stock in McDonald's, right? So that's not an issue. So then he's going based on Rove. He's saying that, so the owner is therefore not Jews, right? Whoever is the majority owner is going to be the owner, right? So Rav Shlomo Zalman has an example, a case where he says that a corporation is a non-entity. It doesn't exist as a person. So you buy something from a corporation, you're not buying it from a non-Jew, you're buying it from something which isn't Doma Lakinyan Kli Midyan.
Described as an artificial person.
Right. So you don't have to total things that were made by an artificial person. So if that's the case, you've now wiped out a lot of Hilchos Tevilas Kelim as well. So I don't think Rav Shlomo Zalman held this, L'chadchila. He pondered it, and I've been told that Rav Schefter won't tovel anything with a bracha that's bought from a corporation. So the eitzit for that is you buy like 10 spoons from a 99-cent store that's not owned by a corporation, and you keep them, and every time you go to the mikveh, you take a spoon with you, and that way you make a bracha. But in a way, you've just erased 90% of Hilchos Tevilas Kelim if you're going to hold of that svar.
Okay, just but you. Let's see, he went to whatever, the Amazing Savings on Central Street.
Central Avenue. Right.
And he bought these.
Clearly
but the spoons were made by a corporation. Even though the store is...
No. You buy it from a mom-and-pop non-Jewish-owned store.
I understand, but the spoons were still made
by a corporation. No, but you're buying it from a non-Jew now.
Okay, so it doesn't make any difference. But the only would apply if like you got it from like... Amazon.com or something like that. Spoons. Because usually there's a middle person, like Bed Bath and Beyond.
No, Bed Bath and Beyond, I think, is a corporation.
Ah, it's a corporation.
But some of them are, you have to know. You take 10 spoons, you sell them to your non-Jewish neighbor for a buck, and then you buy it back for a buck, and now you have 10 spoons that are chayiv and tevila.
A lot of these places are like, somebody owns a store,
but they're franchises. I don't think the larger places are franchises.
That could potentially wipe out all this business and get after a wedding when you have to all this stuff from Bed Bath and Beyond that you got to go to.
Right. So I don't think anybody relied. I don't think even Rishon Zalman said that. Therefore, you don't have to total Caleb. He's just wondering, do you really have, that's enough to wipe out a bracha, maybe. That's enough to raise a suffix.
Uh-huh.
Right? But to just rely on that by itself, I don't think anybody would rely on it by itself.
Let me ask this question. If somebody gives you something, does that mean that they were the previous owner?
If they were? What do you mean?
What? Well, let's say I buy something from Macy's.
Right.
Give it to you.
Right.
So...
Does it mean
that I was
writing the tippet? So there is a concept of Zachon Lazav Shalom, right? Which is one of the svaras thrown out for these candy dishes. I mean, you didn't buy it for yourself, you bought it for me. So therefore, in a way, you purchased it for me. Now, the problem with that is a concept called Brera, that if you're a store owner, mean, you can theory go to the store and say, oh, I love the rabbi so much, I'm going to buy this for him. Right? And therefore, in theory, I could own it right away, and you never actually owned it. Right? That works. But if you're a store owner, you can't go, you know, I love my customers so much, I'm going to buy it, and whichever customer happens to take it, they're going to, right? So it's hard to say that Zachal Adam Shalom Echadim works in an anonymous fashion like that. Right?
Because this, just trying, because it was a long train. So why is the candy dish okay?
The candy dish, well, we haven't figured out why it's okay. In theory, the candy dish could be okay. So Svara A could be that if you buy it from a corporation, if a Jewish candy store buys it from a corporation, so then maybe there's no chiyuv tefillah. So I'm telling you that's a nice theory, but I don't think anyone practices that from Isa. Okay, so the next on the list of kulas that he suggested was the, apparently, he said this, I didn't check it out in Queens, but apparently the Queens Vod requires that the Jewish candy stores, if they sell those platters, they have to sell it, they have to sell only prepackaged items. They sell candies on it, things that actually come in packages. That way it's not actually on the clay itself. Right, so that's a pretty limited. I mean, you don't necessarily want the things that come in packages. You want the jelly beans, right? So that's not such a wonderful aid. So, and furthermore, to cover up, just to say, okay, so we'll cover it up with cellophane. So that doesn't really work. The idea of covering it up is only if it's a kli that is designed to be covered up like that. But if it's a kli that you're just covering it up with cellophane, you can immediately take it off. So it's hard to say that's not using the kli. So apparently in some vadim have required that. Other vadim have required that you only pre-order them and then the company is responsible to total it. Meaning you have a candy store, right? You can have the displays out there. And then you come, you say what you want, and then they'll go and tovel it, tovel the kli for you. Truth is, you have to backtrack a little bit. Why can't the candy store just tovel it themselves? Right? The candy store is a Jewish-owned store. In the case where it's a Jewish-owned store, right, why can't they just go tovel them and then sell them that way, right? And sell them once tovel. So that's what goes back into our sif here. Because our sif here discussed what? That if you're a socher, if you're a seller, so you don't have a chiv of tevila on it, right? If you don't have a chiv of tevila on it, so then what? Are you allowed to then go ahead and tovel it? So the Minchas Yitzchak says no. So in the Sefer Chalkas Ben Yamin, so he quotes from the Minchas Yitzchak that you're not allowed to. You're allowed to do whatever you want. You're allowed to dunk it in the ocean. But it doesn't work as tevila because you didn't have a chiyuv on it. Right? If you don't have a chiyuv, so then you can't tovel it on behalf of somebody. You could do it on behalf of somebody that does, but the kli at this point doesn't have a chiyuv of tevila on it, and therefore that's why it doesn't work. So that's why this idea has been suggested that you can go and you can pick out, and then the company, then the store is going to go and tow it for you and then fill it up. Right. So obviously not such a practical suggestion.
Maybe if the guy tovels it and then puts the candy on it and eats one piece of candy.
So that was so on this year he said somebody suggested that somebody like emailed in this suggestion that every time a tray comes in they should have like a party and everyone will have some candy and then they'll watch the keel and then do it and then total. Then that will require them to total the thing. So probably that's not very practical. That's a lot of candy to go through. So in the Sefer Minchas Asher, so Asher Weiss quotes that Minchas Yitzchak. That if you're the store owner, tevila won't work. And he says he doesn't think it's true. He says, but he doesn't really give any svaras. He says, "Vilfini is daisy, pashat the mahani afshe inu mitzuva oze." That tevila would work. I mean, just because you're the store owner and you don't have a chiyuv tevila on it, you are Jewish, and if you do tovel it, it does solve the problem of tevila. Not the problem. It solves the mitzvah of tevila's kalim. So he disagrees. He just disagrees with
the mitzvah. Right. The store owner could decide to take the dish himself. I mean, and because it's his store and all the stuff in the store belongs to him.
Right, so the only language that we have in Shulchan Aruch is that if he decides to use it derech harayah, then it requires tevila. So it doesn't disprove this concept, but his language is, now that you're deciding to use it, so then you're going to tovel it. So that's not a proof, but that's not necessarily a proof against either. Right? So Minchas Asher says, he thinks it's fine, it says they have to tovel it. So apparently there are other vadim that will require that. They require those fields. The truth is, what they do. But that is the candy dish issue. So
you could argue nowadays that there are some people that would not tovel the dishes. So you're like, in other words, there are people who would buy in the community that might not be medactic on toveling dishes, so that you're benefiting them. If you're a Jewish store owner selling
them. Right. But if it works. So if it works. So I forgot to mention this. So I was able to round up today document A176 from the OU, where they have the following certification of filled salt shaker or spice grinder. All right. So we discussed last week with the right, that the spice grinder has the metal inside, requires to be able because of the metal inside, and the salt shaker, if you have a metal thing on top, right, even if it's a plastic salt shaker, right, so can you spill out? So apparently there is the Shiloh was that there was this salt shaker company and a pepper grinder company wanted to sell the salt shakers with salt already inside and sell the grinders with peppers already inside. And they wanted the OU to give a hashkafa that the peppers and the salt were kosher peppers and pepper salt. Kosher peppers and kosher salt. So would that be okay? So there's a tshuva here from both Rav Shechter as well as from Rav Belsky that they both thought that it was inappropriate. They thought that would be a problem because they thought that the grind is really going to last week. The grinder requires tefillah because of the grinding mechanism, and the salt shaker requires because of the salt top, and therefore they would require tefillah.
What does the salt require too?
Because there's a metal top. There's a metal top, right? Oh, if the whole thing's plastic, so then it would require to be there, right? But this company that was making the request,
even though you're not eating on it,
right? Because it's klisut, it's at your table, so it's roi lachil already, and it's good to go. Yeah.
With the food in it, it's not gonna work. You have to take out the food.
Oh, so this is where I saw the aluminum issue. So this is where Sir Belsky suggests that maybe one has the right to be makil here because the top was aluminum. And he says many are makil on aluminum. He says, however, Rav Moshe was amongst the machmirim. He says, however, he goes with Chaim, who was Chaim Halevi, or Chaim Brisker, who was Mako, okay, that he thought that that aluminum is like dust, and therefore not even considered metal. Okay, he says, however, still, you know, he says, those who want to be Mako want to be Lismach, but he thinks that we should be Machmer, so he didn't disagree. Then he apparently saw them again later, and wanted to come up with some kind of Chiddush, which I didn't understand, and didn't really work on, ran out of time to really work on what he wanted to say, that maybe he doesn't require Tevila, why maybe it doesn't require tefillah, and then you have a final response from Rav Shechter saying, I saw what Gravelsky said, but I don't think so. And I think it does require tefillah. So I don't know if you'll find any of these types of instruments that have an OU hafshir based on these tshuvas.
So was the last one was pre-tova? No.
It sounded like it was a non-Jewish company, I think. Right, they're not
still talking about the salt shakers.
This is the salt shaker. They're not dealing with the question of, oh, maybe we could tovel it first and then market it. They're not dealing with that. They're only dealing with the. They might not have been Jewish. They might have been a Jewish company. In which case, it wouldn't work. Or it's too much work. So, anyways, okay, I think we've resolved those kinds of issues. There's a further issue with the mashkon. Maybe we'll save that for next time.
So a lot of times the candy dishes are just these plastic things.
But they're plastic, yeah. These were glass. So.